Item number seven is case number CPC 2018-2657-CA with the environmental ENV 2018-2658-CE. This is a citywide proposed ordinance related to CEQA appeals. At this time, we will hear from Azeen Khanmalik. Did I pronounce that correctly?
You did. Thank you.
Thank you. Please proceed.
Good morning, commissioners. My name is Azeen Khanmalik with the City Planning Department, and this is the proposed CEQA appeals code amendment. As a bit of background, as the commissioners may know, state law requires that all discretionary actions taken by a lead agency, such as a local government, have a CEQA clearance. CEQA clearances that you may have seen many times in the past include categorical exemptions, negative declarations, mitigated negative declarations, and environmental impact reports. State law also requires that these CEQA clearances, when made by a decision maker other than a legislative body, such as a zoning administrator or a planning commission, be appealable to the legislative body, which in our case is the City Council. Currently, our zoning code is completely silent on the matter of CEQA appeals. However, we do follow state law and allow CEQA appeals to go to the City Council. And as you heard earlier, this causes a not insignificant amount of confusion and unclarity around the topic for both staff and the general public. In addition, in 2008, California Senate Bill 375 was passed into law. SB 375 created a new type of CEQA clearance called a Sustainable Communities Environmental Assessment, or SCIA. A SCIA is similar to an MND, however, only for transit priority projects as defined in the law, amongst a host of other requirements. To approve a SCIA, SB 375 requires a hearing and a vote for approval by the City Council. However, SB 375 also states that a Planning Commission can approve a SCIA if local ordinances affirmatively provide for appeals of CEQA clearances to the City Council, which is currently missing from our zoning code. So this creates a workflow inefficiency that is visualized before you right now. On the top of your screen, you can see a standard zoning administrator's case with an MND, the steps for which include staff reviewing the case, preparing a CEQA determination, preparing the case for hearing, at which point the case is heard and a determination is issued. However, a standard zoning administrator's case with a SCIA would require the staff to review the case, prepare a SCIA, and then schedule the SCIA for hearing at City Council, at which point the council will consider the SCIA, approve the SCIA, and then the case will go back down to the staff level to continue through the rest of its case processing. This inefficiency does create the need for excess time and money and resources on the part of staff and applicants. So the proposed code amendment before you today creates a new section of our zoning code establishing a process for CEQA appeals. Appellants must first exhaust all administrative appeals on the entitlement case before filing a CEQA appeal. There will be an appeal period of 15 days after final project approval, which is in line with the heavy majority of our other appeal timelines, including for zoning administrators' cases, director's determination cases, density bonus cases, things like that. The City Council will then have 75 days to act on a CEQA appeal, and all building permits will be stayed during the time that the CEQA appeal is being considered. In addition, fees will be capped at $500. I would like to stress that at this point, no appeal fees are changing in any way. The $500 fee cap is taken directly from state law, which already caps fees for CEQA appeals at $500. And we are simply incorporating that cap into our zoning code. However, fees for all appeals, including CEQA appeals, will remain approximately $110. So in conclusion, the CEQA Appeals Code Amendment codifies a process for CEQA appeals which brings transparency and predictability to the process for the general public, and also rectifies an inefficient workflow, which leads to ineffective and unproductive use of resources and time on the part of staff and applicants. Thank you very much, and I'm available for your questions.
Thank you very much. We will now open public testimony for this item. Each speaker who has filled out and turned in a speaker card will have 1 minute to speak. Please line up behind the podium as soon as you hear your name called. Marion Dodge, Shane Phillips, Doug Haynes, and Wayne from Encino. When you get to the podium, please say your name and your time will begin. Thank you. Welcome.
Good morning. I'm Marion Dodge. I'm chairman of the Hillside Federation. The Hillside Federation has frequently spoken before CPC and other city agencies. If the $500 CEQA appeal fee is passed, the Federation and many other organizations and individuals' ability to participate in the public process will be greatly limited. Only developers would be able to afford appeals. The Federation objects to the CEQA appeal ordinance as proposed because it does not allow public process. The fee for appeals by non-applicants should be retained at their current level to assure that the public, general public, can continue to have a voice in the public process. The time to appeal should be extended to 30 days to give community groups time to respond. Thank you for your consideration.
Thank you. Welcome, Shane.
Good morning, Commissioners. Shane Phillips with Central City Association. We first want to thank staff for their work on this ordinance and for incorporating many of the comments from the hearing we had back in June. The biggest remaining issue in this ordinance is with what happens if council fails to hear an appeal within the 75-day time frame. Without a clause deeming an appeal denied if not heard within that 75-day window, a project applicant's only recourse if no appeal hearing takes place is to sue to force the city to hear it. Filing a lawsuit to force a hearing is an expensive and time-consuming process, and it's especially harmful for affordable and permanent supportive housing projects that depend on time-sensitive tax credit funding. Adding this clause still leaves appellants with legal recourse if their appeal is deemed denied, because a denied appeal can be addressed by a court, and it ensures that applicants don't get stuck in a kind of legal limbo that can kill a project. These kinds of provisions are regularly included in the code, and we ask that CPC add it to this ordinance as well. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Haynes, welcome.
Good morning. My name is Doug Haynes. I'm here actually to speak on behalf of the Hollywood Studio District Neighborhood Council. I submitted a letter for you. I think the letter is pretty self-explanatory. Basically, our questions are related to density bonuses. If you have a density bonus, you have a separation of appellant rights. Proximity determines that. So one group is able to exhaust its administrative remedies by filing a density bonus appeal. However, if you are not in proximity to the project site, you only have the option of a CEQA appeal. If there's a 15-day limitation, there's confusion about your exhaustion. So does that mean the people who are proximate to the project site, they would file the appeal to this commission of the density bonus? At the same time, people who are one home over, they would have to file a CEQA appeal. How is that going to work? That's why you propose a 30-day limitation on this, so that you can determine whether or not someone else has already appealed this. Again, this is for the Hollywood Studio District Neighborhood Council, so I would ask for a little bit additional time.
Do you have a community impact statement?
Well, I've submitted it to you as a letter. So, and it was part of your package.
I think it is a certified letter or certified impact statement that provides extra time. Can I get clarification from staff on this, please?
It was submitted previously and it's part of your packet, and I submitted to you again today.
Yeah, okay.
So I don't think there was any confusion on that matter.
We can, yes, I see.
The second issue is as far as the fee. We understand state law restricts it to $500. We would just ask that there be something codified within your determination today that ensures that the fee for the CEQA appeals be consistent with other appellant fees. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Welcome back. Please go ahead.
Yeah, I'll defer to my expert. Yes, we're wholeheartedly in support of this. It's unfortunate the appeal fee is only $500. It should be $10,000, but if we're limited by state law, fuck it. So also, you heard what the distinguished developer said about having to sue the city. Yes, we should shorten the timeline even more so that we can ram through all these projects, tear down more rent-controlled properties faster, 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 faster. So the goal is to bulldoze all of this shit and build skyscrapers so that we can get entitlements and affordable housing tax credits so we can sell them to Wall Street. So when they go bankrupt, then we can sell them for 10 cents on the dollar. God bless corruption. God bless President Trump. But of course, fuck you. Thank you so much.
Thank you for that. Staff, do you have anything you'd like to respond to in that testimony?
Yes. Thank you, Commissioner.
Before you get started, I am going to close public testimony. Please go ahead.
Thank you, Commissioner. With respect to fees, staff would again like to stress that fees are in no way changing, and appeal fees for CEQA appeals are currently the same as all of our other fees for appeals. I believe they're $89 plus fees. Fees are in our code, in Article 9 of our code, and any amendment to those fees would require a code amendment and can be considered at that time. So staff does not believe that anything more is necessary within this code amendment to address the issues of fees. And with respect to density bonus appeals, yes, please.
Phyllis Nathanson, Code Studies. But with respect to the fees, we included the cap in the ordinance just at a suggestion. But if the commission wishes to remove that from the ordinance, that would be fine.
Thank you.
Very quickly, with respect to density bonus appeals, the individual rules for density bonus appeals are their own unique and individual issue. And while staff understands the frustration that may be experienced with those rules, that is not within the scope of this current amendment, as this is dealing with CEQA appeals individually. Thank you.
Thank you. Commissioners, does anyone have any questions? Anyone like to kick us off? I have a question. One of the things that was brought up in public testimony is what happens if it is not heard within 75 days, the appeal.
I suppose the appeal would be deemed denied, but perhaps the city attorney can.
Donna Wong for the city attorney's office. Right now, as written, there is no jurisdictional consequence in the language. You would need to expressly provide for that. Just kind of to explain what could possibly happen if there's non-compliance with the time period, is that a interested party could go to court and seek a court order for the decision maker to hold a hearing and make a decision within a certain indefinite time frame. And so that's the next logical possibility based on the current language.
Thank you.
This is Renee Dake Wilson. I think it's important that we know what happens at 75 days. I think that we all agree that we want projects to move along, but we also want the appeals to move along, not only so that these things can get resolved. So I think that we would really look towards a recommendation for what is a good result if we don't have a 75-day an action within the 75 days.
Yeah, this is Kevin Keller, City Planning. I think the majority of our appeals go to the Area Planning Commission. This would follow, and we can add that clarification, would follow the same general clause that at the expiration of the appeal period, if there is no decision, of the time to act period, if there is no decision, the underlying decision stands. We have had situations in the past where there's been hearings, there's been multiple hearings, a board has heard it many times, has deadlocked, not been able to resolve one way or the other, and we do revert back to the underlying decision. There have been some times where within 75 days, no board has been able to convene and hear it, and in those cases, based on past practice and advice of the city attorney, we normally extend that time to allow a board to meet to hear it once. But in the event a board, or in this case the city council, is deadlocked and cannot reach a decision after hearing it, we would recommend that it probably follow our other processes to revert back to the underlying condition. So we can make that clarification if the commission would advise us to do that.
That seems like if that's a way it happens in other cases, I think that's seems reasonable. But I think that we need to be explicit about what happens then. So I'm acceptable if that's how it's being resolved elsewhere. I'm also cognizant that we're not adjusting the fees. I think it's fine to have your statement in there about the maximum of the fees, as long as it doesn't. I'm moving on to a new topic right now. So in your ordinance, you talk about the fees. I'm reluctant to refer to them because that state law may change and we'll be referring to something that's out of date. And this ordinance does not affect the fees in any way. That's dealt with through another ordinance. So I don't want to be referring to something that's gone away in something bureaucratic, because this ordinance will be around for a while. So that would be my reason for removing the reference, as Phyllis stated. I'm fine with the appeal period being the 15 days for the SCIA, as is stated in the staff report, would be the other thing I would say.
Thank you. Mark?
I am okay with staff's recommendations.
Veronica?
Nothing to add.
Caroline?
I'm okay with Renee's recommendations. I also agree with Phyllis, what she said about the potential of removing the $500, just because it could change and we don't want to have something in there that may change over time. So with that, I look forward to approving staff's report. Thank you.
David?
I concur with Renee.
Vahid?
I too concur with Renee.
This is Samantha Millman. I too concur with Renee. And with that, would Renee like to make a motion?
Boy, would I. This is Renee Dake Wilson. I'd like to approve staff's recommended actions with the following modifications. With the following modifications to take the suggested action from Vince Bertone regarding the 75-day time. Oh, it was actually from Kevin Keller regarding the 75-day time frame appeal period actions about it going to the recommended body or reverting to the previous decision, unless the recommended body has not been able to meet, in which case we shall allow an extended time. If it's just because the body hasn't been able to meet, that's a mess up. We need to get those bodies showing up and meeting and making good decisions. All right, that's number one. And the second thing is to remove references to fees regarding state law.
Is there a second?
Caroline Cho, second.
James, we have a first and a second. Will you please call for the vote?
Certainly. Commissioner Dake Wilson.
Yes.
Commissioner Cho.
Yes.
Commissioner Ambrose.
Yes.
Commissioner Corsand.
Yes.
Commissioner Mitchell.
Yes.
Commissioner Padilla Campos.
Yes.
Commissioner Millman.
Yes.
The motion carries.
Before you leave, Azine, I hear this is your last meeting with us.
Oh, wow. Yes, it is, unfortunately.
Thank you for your service to the planning department.
Oh, certainly.
Look forward to seeing you in your new capacity.
Thank you very much. I look forward to it as well. I appreciate it.
Thank you. And with that, seeing no other business, we are adjourned at 10:25 a.m. Don't get used to it.